Well, good morning, Village Church. My name is Jake. I'm one of the elders here, and I have the privilege today to have us continue walking through 1 John. Chris led us last week when we first started the first four verses, so I'll be taking us to the rest of chapter 1, and then we'll start chapter 2 today. There's a few things I kind of want you guys to be thinking through before we start. Diving in, just a few topics, a few questions, just to be thinking through while we go through the verses together, and that is, who is ultimately guiding your life right now? It's going to be a simple question, but there's a lot of different answers that can come from it. The second one would be, how are we able to walk in fellowship with God? And then the third is, on the last day, when you stand before God, will you defend yourself, or will you allow Jesus to defend you? And all those questions get answered. We'll talk through each one of those through this with John today. So, if you could, open up with me. We're going to be starting John chapter 1. We're going to read verses 5 through 10 first, and then we'll go back through it verse by verse, okay? So it starts with this. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there's absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. If we walk in light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are not deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not with us. Let's look here at verse 5. For most of these verses, I've kind of got either a question or a topic of that goes along with each verse. And this one I've titled, Not John's Message. Because it starts here that says, this is the message that we have heard from him to declare to you. This is not the words of John that he's writing down. This is not John he is describing. He is using God's words to describe God. To be confident when we talk about God, we must first have to hear what God has to say about himself, so we can have that confidence, so we can know what God truly is and what he has done. So what has God told us about himself here? God tells us about himself that God is light and there's absolutely no darkness in him. What kind of implications does that have for us with our walk with God? When you really think about it, it says he is light and there's no darkness within him. Wouldn't sin be darkness? So I don't know about you guys, but I'll be the first to raise my hand here that I'm a sinner. I think all of us would say the same. I think we couldn't sit here today and say that we're not. We would be lying. We'd be calling God a liar. So because of that, we have darkness within us. So how can we live a life in God? It's the first question we've got to ask ourselves. And as we move on to verse 6, I've kind of titled this, is, are you walking in darkness? It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. Each and every one of us is walking through life right now. So I want you to imagine with me, if you can, a road. And on each side of that road, you have a sidewalk. On the left side, you have street lamps that light all the way down as far as you can see. The farther to the right you get, it gets darker and darker. So dark that the only reason you know there's a sidewalk is because I've told you there is. And each one of us is walking through life, and as we try, as we must, we try to walk on the side where the light is guiding our path. And that does not mean to walk with Christ, does not mean we will not stumble and start to veer off into the darkness. But some of us will keep going. The farther out we go, it gets darker and darker to where the streetlights are no longer visible. Darkness surrounds us as we lead ourselves down this path. The path that so far, there's no more light to guide our way. You have to ask yourself this question, is how did I get here? Did God walk away from me? Or did I walk away from God? The light stayed on the path. The light stayed in its direction. It has its light. It's lit up. The path is there for it. It is me who walked away. I'm the one that walked away from the light and started to stray. We can't blame God when things are tough. When we get stuck in sin, continual sin, it is not God that left us, but us that left God. We start to follow the world. We start to follow ourselves. Next thing you know, we're in total darkness. Now, this does not mean, as a Christian, that we will not veer off occasionally into that area, but we will always find our way back to the light. God is not walking away from us. We know the path to get back to Him. We don't want to continually be caught walking in darkness, continually be caught in sin, because God says that there is no darkness in Him. And if we continually sin and we're okay with that, yet we choose to say that we are in fellowship with God, that we have a connection with God, verse 6 said that we are lying and are not practicing the truth. So either God is lying or we are. It's plain and simple. God's a perfect. For walking in darkness, it's no big deal for us to keep on lying that we're walking with Him. So I ask you guys what side of the road you're currently walking on and to be thinking through that. So how can we walk in the light? We got here in verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Here's where we get the answer to the first question. How are we able to have a relationship with God and walk in fellowship with Him? Because the blood that Jesus spilt has cleansed us from all of our sin. Not just some, not just the past sin, but He has cleansed us from every sin that we have committed, that we are committing, and that we will commit. There'll be plenty of sins that I'll commit in the future. But as long as I ask for forgiveness and bring those to God, they will be forgiven. That is what He's done for each and every one of us. That is how we are able to continually walk in fellowship with God. He has cleansed us of everything. We're going to look at 8 through 10 here. They kind of flow together. And this title of this little section here I've got is, Are You Letting Jesus Wash Your Feet? I know it's an odd question to ask, but I'll make it a little bit more clear for you. Let's read verses 8 through 10 real quick. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. Jesus forgives us of all of our sins. However, that does not mean that we will no longer sin. Yes, he forgives us, but we will continue to do so. I ask you guys to not catch yourself justifying a mistake or a mess up. But you have to be honest with yourselves. You cannot deceive yourself when we have sinned. We cannot be afraid to admit and confess to God when our mess ups are sin. Verse 9 tells us what happens if we don't. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us and our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God continues to cleanse our sins along the way as long as we're willing to confess and bring those to him. A good example of this is back in John chapter 13. If you want, you can turn there with me. This is the night of the Passover. Jesus is up there with his disciples. They enter into the room and Jesus starts to wash his disciples' feet. He gets to Peter. We see here in verse 6, he says, he came to Simon Peter who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not realize now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter did not realize that what it's representing is Jesus washing away his sins, cleaning him off. Peter responds, you will never wash my feet. And Jesus replied, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. The one who is bathed in, Jesus told him, does not need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. He's referring to Judas there. For he knew who would betray him. This is why he said, not all of you are clean. You see, church, the world is a dusty and dirty place. And for the time that we're here in this world and walk through it, we have to live in it. Do not have to be of it, but we are stuck here for the time being. Our feet will get dirty. We all have times that we need to come and confess to Jesus our sins and ask that he wash our feet. That way we can continue to walk in the light and fellowship of Jesus. We cannot be afraid to confess our sins. Jesus has died on the cross and completely bathed us, just like he told Peter, but he did say that we need to continually wash our feet. We need to continually ask for forgiveness for our sins. If not, we're calling God a liar, saying that we are sinless. As it says in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. His word. To understand this, we need to go back once again to John. Just one verse. John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let's read verse 10 again. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and God is not with us. Do you understand the severity of that verse right there? That if we continually live in sin, yet we say we are with God, we are calling him a liar, and he is no longer with us. We are living in darkness, too far to come back from the light because we're too busy focused on what we are doing. We're not asking God to direct us. We are okay to live in our sin. And this comes to the second chapter 2, which I've kind of titled, is Do You Have a Good Lawyer? I'm not talking about the lawyers we have in the room or the lawyers here on earth, but who will represent you at the end? Will you represent yourself with every excuse you have of why you've done the way you, everything you've done, or will you allow God to represent himself for you? I want you to imagine with me. Standing in front of God one day. Having all of your past sins read aloud as you listen to each and every single one of them. Ones you regret, ones you forgot about. Ones you didn't even know you did. You get through the list and the gavel goes down, and what's the punishment? It's death, is what we deserve. We deserve hell and death. However, we have an advocate, each one of us. It's the same person. The same person that will tell the judge that we are guilty will also walk up to him and say, Dad, he's with me. I've paid his debt, and he can come home. We got to understand the magnitude that if we try to represent ourselves in front of God, the only thing we can do is plead guilty. If we try to come up with any excuse, it's not going to get us into heaven. We cannot bargain our way into heaven with God. As we see here in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, My little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but also those of the whole world. John is not asking or saying that we will not ever sin. He's just asking us to do our best to mimic that of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand when that day comes, when we sit in front of God, that we are guilty and we deserve the punishment. No more excuses, no more justifying our sins like we do here all the time on earth. Well, I did this because. I catch myself saying that all the time, trying to justify why I sin. See, our way to heaven is set for each and every one of us. It's already done. It's already complete. Jesus has already died for each and every one of us, just like it says in verses 1 and 2 here. He has already paid the debt but we have to choose to let him represent us in the end. We have to choose to confess to each one of our sins and bring those to him. If not, we are calling ourselves sinless and we are calling God a liar. We're calling the ultimate judge that will decide your fate of heaven or hell not perfect. And the devil laughs at us the whole time, excited the way we live this life on earth, excited when we walk in the darkness, excited when we no longer can see the light. This is why we gotta confess and turn to Jesus and not live life with our own direction in mind. The last four verses here, we've got 3-6. It's called God's commands here. It says, this is how we know that we know him. And if we keep his commands, the one who says, I have come to know him and yet does not keep his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. We are called to keep the commands of God. This does not mean to live a perfect life. It's already told us we can't do it. This is why Jesus came here. If Jesus had not done what he did, if we were perfect, we wouldn't need him. We're not asked to live a perfect life, but we are asked to mimic the life of Jesus the best we can. Knowing that when we fall, and we will over and over again, there will be a hand of Jesus that will pick us up, dust us off, and lead us back into the direction that we need to go. We cannot do that on our own. Don't be caught lying to the God of the universe. We're not perfect people. We shouldn't try to be. But the best thing we can do is follow in God's footsteps. Let him lead us. And when we fall and make mistakes, admit to it and keep moving forward. If we follow his commands, the love of Jesus that he gave to each and every one of us by dying on that cross, is all the undoubting knowledge that we need to know that we are with him and in him. God sent his son for each and every one of you guys. He sent his son for me. He sent his son for the whole world, for those that will just follow him. As I said earlier, we are all walking through life right now. And as I close here, I have some thoughts and questions I want to leave you all with. Who is guiding your path? Are you walking on the side that's lit up by Christ as he guides each and every one of us each step of the way? Or are you stuck on the side of darkness, the side that holds bitterness, resentment, and anger? The side that the world gives off the illusion of being so bright and so joyful and happy, only to find out that it is led by the devil himself, the king of sinners. It is not God that walks away from us. We are the ones that walk away from God. Jesus has taken that sin problem out of this world with his death. We have to make sure that we are not the one defending ourselves on that day as we stand before God. I want you all to remember that we are all given the same advocate in Jesus Christ, but it has to be your choice to walk with him. Let us pray. God, we come to you today just broken and sinful. Lord, just we ask for forgiveness. We lift you up, Lord. We praise you for everything you've done, all that you do, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us, that we do not deserve this, but you did it anyways. We deserve death, Lord, and separation from you, but you loved us so much that you sent your son to die on the cross to save each and every one of us, Lord. Allow us, Lord, just to be guided by you. Turn our selfish desires away. Let you guide our feet. Let you hold our hand as we walk through life, Lord. Allow us to listen to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.